Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis of Masech Shabbos. We're holding on the top of Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis at Ramile Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zeira on the second line of the page. So since we're talking about different things that are attached and they become like a single unit as far as Yisr Shabbos is concerned, meaning we were talking about opening up the neck hole of a garment and how that creates a new kli and that Yerchayiv Makab Patish. So the Gemara discusses the halach of chibur of attachments as far as tum is concerned, and we're in court Rabbi Yirmiya, who asks a stira between the Mishnayos whether a chibur between two different kelim is considered a chibur latuma, even when it's not the time of the malacha of that kli. So Rabbi Yirmiya asks a stira to Rabbi Zeira. On the one hand, we have a Mishnah in the 12th parak of Maseches Parah that says as follows: Shalol shalkovsin, you have begadim that the launderers sew to each other, so like they don't want you to lose any socks. So they'll sew some of the socks together with the pants and the shirts so that it will all be connected together so that nothing will get lost. Vishal shalash shal maftecho, so you have a chain of keys, vabegachu tafor beklayim, or you have two pieces of a garment, a beget semer that are tied together with that are sewn together with a strand made out of pishtan, even though it's not really meant to be attached in a permanent way, it's just to hold them together for the meantime. Chibur l'tumah, it's considered to be connected as far as tumah is concerned, meaning if one of the things that are connected becomes tameh, so does the other. Ad sheyaske lahatir, until the connector, until the knot that holds them together begins to become undone. Once it begins to become undone, so then you're megaladas through that maisa, starting to untie it, that you're no longer interested in that chibur. Alma shalobashas melchanami chibur. So you see from here that until you begin to untie it, even if you're no longer using it for the malacha that you needed it to be connected for, it's still considered to be connected. So the laundry is already done. You're no longer in danger of losing your sock, but nevertheless, since you didn't begin to untie the sock or to disconnect the sock, it's still considered to be a chibur. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, so here's my kasha, Ruminhu, because I could ask you a stira from another Mishnah, this one in Maseches Kelim, in the 20th parak of Kelim. Makel sha'ase yad l'kardom, if let's say you have a handle made out of wood that became a handle of an axe, but you didn't really connect it fully. Chibur l'tumma b'shas malacha, it's a chibur as far as tumma is concerned, that if the axe blade becomes tamei, so the handle becomes tamei as well, but that's only while the malacha is happening, so that's when it's all tameh. But b'shas malacha in shelo b'shas malacha lo, the clear diuk is that when it's not b'shas malacha, then it would not become tameh. So Rabbi Zeira responds, Amalei, that's not a stira. Hasam shelo b'shas malacha adam asu lizar kol levein ha'etzim. Hacha shelo b'shas malacha nami nichalei di mitanfu hadam mechaver lahu. That there's a big difference when it comes to the axe handle. Once the malacha is already done, once you're finished chopping, so it's normal to just remove the handle and discard it because you only intended it to be that, to serve as the handle for that axe for a short amount of time. So it's not really considered a chibur when it's not the shas malacha. But when it comes to sewing different garments together, even shelo b'shas malacha, you want these garments to be connected to each other so that if they become dirty again, you'll be able to launder them again without having to reattach them because they're automatically attached already. So says the Gemara. The Gemara continues to discuss chibur of different kelim as far as tum is concerned. And in Surah they taught the following teaching in the name of Rav Chista, but Pumbadisa Masama Mishmed Rav Kahana. In Pumbadisa they said the same teaching by the name of Rav Kahana, Va'amila Mishmed Rava, and some say that they said it in the name of Rava. Man Tana Ham Milsa Dam Rabbanan. Who is the Tana that taught this din that the Chum say that Kala Mechuber Lo Hareu Kamahu? That anything that's Mechuber to something else, like when you have a laundry that's done where two things are connected to each other, that it's as if it's one unit, and if one of them becomes tameh, the other one becomes tameh as well. So Rav Yehuda answered, Amar Vidam Rav, Rabbi Meir he. Rabbi Meir is the one that holds that that's considered a real chibur. It's not, because we have a mission in the 5th parak of Kelim, Beis HaPach, a kli that you put a jug of oil on, Ubeis HaTavlin, or a kli that you put spices on, Ubeis HaNer, the kli that you put a ner on, Shebakira, that are attached to a kira, to a stove which is made out of cheres, metamin b'maga, they're metame each other by tumas maga, meaning if the kira becomes tame from a sheretz that touched it on the inside, these kelim that are attached to the kira become tame as well, and vice versa. Vein metamin ba'avir, but they're not metame each other from tumas avir, that if the kira became tame from tumas avir, even though it does become tame because the kli cheres is metame when tuma enters its airspace, the kelim that are attached to it do not become tame through that tumas avir, because it's not considered a chibur as far as tumas avir is concerned, only as far as tumas maga is concerned. Divrei Meir, Rabbi Shimon says either way it's going to be tahar, because each kli is judged individually, they're independent of each other. So you see that Rabbi Meir holds the chibur works between different kelim as far as tumas is concerned, whereas Rabbi Shimon disagrees and holds that chibur between different kelim does not do anything as far as tumas is concerned. So the din that says in the Mishnah that Sholosh Halkovsim is considered a chibur as far as tumas is concerned is like the shita of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara discusses the reason for Meir distinguishing between Tumas Maga and Tumas Avir, though that's an unusual distinction. So Bishlam and Rabbi Shimon, I understand Rabbi Shimon's Shita very well, that he's Matar of the Kalim in any event, Kasava Lav Kikira Damu. He holds that the Kalim that are attached to the Kira are not considered a part of the Kira as far as Tumas is concerned, and therefore they're totally independent. So the Tum of one does not affect the other. Ella Rabbi Meir, but according to Rabbi Meir, who says that when the Kira becomes Tame Bimaga, the kelim attached to the Kira also become Tame Bimaga, but not when it becomes Tame Ba'avir. Well, I don't understand. Mimanafshach, I Kikira Damu, if you're going to say that the other kelim are like part of the Kira, Afil Ba'avir Nami Le Tamu, then even if the Kira only becomes Tame Ba'avir, the other kelim should also become Tame. And Ilav Kikira Damu, if they're not considered part of the Kira, Afil Bimaga Nami Loli Tamu, then even with Tumas Maga, they should not become Tameh. Says Mar Liolam, Lav Kikira Damu. Really, Midoraisa, they're not considered a part of the Kira. Rabbanan, who Dugazubuhu, and the Chacham were the ones that made the Gezerah, that they're considered to be Mechubra to each other as far as Tumas Maga is concerned. But the Gemara says that just shifts the question, doesn't answer the question. I Gazubuhu, Afilu Bavirnami Litamu. Once Rabbanan are making Gezerah that they're considered Chibur, so then why don't they make the Gezerah to consider them Chibur even as far as Avir is concerned? Answers the Gemara, Avdubuhu Rabbanan Hakeira, Kiech Glossi, the Mistra Filet Trumo Kachim. The Chacham made a hacker by saying that it's not a chibur to be metame ba'avir, in order that everyone should know that the tumah is only midrabanan, so that you don't come to be so reif truma and kachim based on this tumah. So in order to make it obvious that this is only a tumah midrabanan and not a tumah midaraisa, they specifically didn't go all out on the gezerah of tumah, and they said that the tumah only exists with maga and not with avir. Okay, now the Gemara continues to discuss chibur as far as tumah is concerned. So another type of chibur. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Masporas shel prakim. Let's say you have a pair of scissors that the two blades come apart from each other. V'izemel, a certain type of knife that has a that's very sharp and wide. Shel rehitni, that was that's made for smoothing something out. So it's built in a way that the izemel is between chatichas eitz, which is, serves as like a base yad, it serves like a handle, and when you're finished, they would take the blade out from the handle. So when they are attached, chibur l'tuma, it's considered a chibur as far as tuma is concerned. Meaning when the scissors are attached and one blade becomes tame, so does the other, and the same is true by the izemel or by the izmel. The ein chibur l'hazaa, but as far as hazaa is concerned, they're not going to be considered attached. What does that mean? That if they both become tame with the tumas meis, and you do hazaa, the sprinkling of the mechatas on one of them, the other one does not become tahar. So it says, well, wait a second, why does that make any sense? Manafshach I chibur hu afil hazaa nami. If it's considered a chibur, then for hazaa it should also work. That if the mechatas gets sprinkled on one of them, it should be enough to be mitar both of them. V'ilav chibur hu, anything they tell me it's not considered a chibur, I feel the tumah nami lo, then it shouldn't be good enough for tumah either. So Amar Rava Dvar Torah, B'shas Malacha Chibur Bein Latuma Bein Lahazar. Mida or Raisa, at the time of the Malacha, when they're being used, is considered like a single unit, and it's a Chibur both for Tuma and for Hazah. If one of them becomes Tame while you're using it, the second one is Tame as well. And if you sprinkle Mechatos, B'shas Malacha, on one of them, then they both had Mechatos on it, they're both Tar. B'shalo B'shas Malacha, Enu Chibur Lo Latuma V'lo Lahazah. And when it's not the Shas Malacha, then and one of them becomes Tameh, the other one does not become Tameh, and one of them becomes Tahar, the other one does not become Tahar. Because Rabbanan, al Tumah, shalo b'shas malacha, mishum Tumah shabashas malacha. It's just that the Rabbanan where goes there, Tumah, even when it's not a Shas malacha, on account of Tumah that is b'shas malacha. And there goes there, al Hazah shabashas malacha, that sprinkling while on one of them, while there is malacha going on, should not be effective for the other one. Mid Rabbanan, mishum Hazah shalo b'shas malacha, because sprinkling when malacha is not going on, it would not be effective. So essentially, there are three types of chibur. I mean, if we had to summarize exactly what happened over here, there are three types of chibur. Different parts of a kelim that serve a single function, like a scissors that can be taken apart. So b'shas malacha, it's considered a chibur midar raisa for both tuma and hazaa. And shalom b'shas malacha, it's not a chibur midar raisa. And the chamur goes that it's a chibur both b'shas malacha and shalom b'shas malacha only for tumah, but not for hazaa. Then the second thing is that if you have different parts of kelim that are attached to each other but are not serving the same function, like the shalol shel kovsim or the Beis HaPach and the Beis HaShemen that's on the Kira, the different kelim that are attached to the Kira, so according to our mayor, they're considered a Chibur L'tumma Midrabanan, even Shalom B'Shas Malacha, so long as the Bailim is happy about them being connected. According to Rabbi Shimon, they're not a Chibur L'tumma. And then you have the third halacha is a makal that's a Beis Yad for a kardom, for an axe. You have a wooden handle that serves as a handle for an axe. That's only a Chibur B'Shas Malacha. Shalom b'shas malacha, it's not a chibur because you would never want to keep it connected after the malacha is done. You would just throw it lebeina etzim. So let's just try to get to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, "Ein tomnin, you're not allowed to be tomein b'tevin or b'zagin or b'mochin or asavin b'zman shehin lachin, when they are moist." So the Gemara discusses what does that mean that you're not allowed to be matzmin a tavshil and erev Shabbos with mochin and asavin that are lachim. Say by lachin machmas atzman. Odilma lachin machmas davaracher. When we say lachin, does that mean that they when they're moist machmas atzmon, they provide extra heat? But if they became moist because some liquid fell on them after they already dried out, then they wouldn't add heat, or even when they're lachin machmas davaracher. And obviously, if that were the case, if it's even true when it's lachin machmas davaracher, then when they're lachin machmas atzman, it's also considered to be mosif hevel. So what do we consider mosif hevel? When it's only when it's naturally moist, or even when it's moist from an outside source? So Tashma says, well, we'll bring a raya to be poshet the suffix from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, lo b'tevin v'lo b'zagim v'lo b'mochin v'lo b'asavim. So, Rabbi Shlomo, if you're going to say that lachin machmas tavaracher shapir, that it's moist from something else, I understand the Mishnah very well. That by all these things, you could say that lachin machmas mashkin or anything that's moist that falls on it. Eli, amr lachin machmas atzman mochin lachin machmas atzman hechem mishkachasla. But if you're going to say that it's only most of hevel when it's naturally moist, how do you ever have a metzius of mochin that's naturally moist? There is no lachus. There is no moisture in mochin. Says Gemara, mi marta de beniatmi. The wool that is taken from between the thighs of the animal because of all the sweat that the animal has, that the sheep has, could be moist at times. And that's what's going to be mosif hevel. Vahadutan reboshia. Tomnin, b'ksus yivesho, b'peris yivashin, that you're allowed to insulate from Erev Shabbos using dry ksus or dry peros, because they're not mosif hevel, avalo b'ksus lach, avalo b'peris lachin, but not moist clothing or moist peros, ksus lachem achmasatz mehechem mishkachsa. Where do you ever have a ksus that's naturally moist, that didn't become moist from something else? Says Gemara, mimir to de beniatmi, from the wool that you pull from between the animal's thighs, which could be naturally moist on account of the fact that the animal sweats a lot in that area. So it could be that only that which is that is lach machmas atzmo is actually mosif hevel, and you could have such a thing as wool that is lach machmas atzmo, but maybe wool that's only moist because some other liquid fell on it, maybe in a chinami, that would not be mosif hevel. Okay, we'll stop there, and Bez Hashem, next time we'll pick up at the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Amid Aleph.